One of the concerns that that people immediately have, of course, this coming so close on the heels of the hijacking and the terrible crashes that we witnessed about 9 weeks ago, people are trying to figure out, and some have, automatically would jump to the conclusion that this is somehow related to that, and that's an unfair conclusion at this time. What is fair to say is that people are concerned, and appropriately concerned, about the widely heralded problem that when you put luggage into a plane, it doesn't really get checked the way you think it gets checked. You know, when you carry on your attaché case or a small carry-on piece of luggage, they turn your socks inside out. I've been on two flights already that they take your pen apart if it's inside. But when you put it through the luggage check and check it into the belly of the plane, your chances are 15 out of 100, or 15% that any given piece of luggage is going to be checked. So it's like playing Russian roulette with possibly five of the chambers loaded and one of them blank. If somebody wanted to figure those kinds of odds, and I'm not saying that this is anything of that nature, but that is something that we have to, in the current system that we're dealing with, even though this may be totally unrelated to that, that has to be fixed nonetheless.
Well, the FAA has closed all major airports in the New York area, and the city has shut down the tunnels and bridges into the city.
Yeah, well, this is being done automatically as a precautionary measure. Not knowing at this time, it's better to err on the side of safety and precaution. Some of our bridges and tunnels have been closed down in order to get emergency vehicles to the site. The Verrazano Bridge from Staten Island to Brooklyn. Staten Island also being a place where a lot of emergency uniformed and other workers live. The lower level was closed down. Now both levels have been closed down. But of course, closing all of the airports and all of the bridges and tunnels right now is just a precaution in case it turns out that this is something more than terrible expression, but a garden variety kind of plane disaster.
Congressman, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Gary Ackerman is a Democrat who represents Queens in the U.S. Congress. Larry Abramson?
Well, there's so much we don't know right now. It's very frustrating, of course, particularly in the current climate. But we can talk a little bit about what we know will happen next. The FAA, of course, is not going to assume anything went on. They're going to start an investigation. And, of course, we all know one of the things they look for when a plane crash like this happens is they look for the black boxes, the voice recorder that will have recorded any cockpit conversations between the pilots that might have been going on. In a case like this, where you have a plane taking off, there very well could be some indications on that recorder as to what was going wrong. And then, of course, there is a data recorder that might tell them whether there was something wrong with the setting of the plane's flaps, for example, which brought down a plane many, many years ago outside of Detroit, or whether there was, in fact, an engine failure. We've heard eyewitness reports that one of the plane's engines fell off before it crashed. That, of course, could be catastrophic, particularly at takeoff. But it's important to remember that often when eyewitnesses see something that is as traumatic as this, it's easy to confuse whether you saw flame before or after the crash happened, whether you saw debris falling before or afterwards. Those eyewitness reports are interesting sometimes, but they don't really form much of a basis for the investigation that the FAA will be doing.
NPR's Larry Abramson, thank you.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. A commercial airliner crashed this morning in Queens, New York. Several buildings reportedly on fire. NPR's Marianne Akers has spoken with the Federal Aviation Administration.
It was an American Airlines jet. It's an Airbus A300, and it's American Airlines Flight 587 that had just departed from JFK Airport in New York, headed for Santo Domingo, and apparently it crashed, according to the FAA, about 5 miles from JFK Airport. It crashed over Rockaway, Queens, which is a peninsula along the coast, and several houses are reported to be on fire on the ground.
All New York area airports have shut down, buildings reportedly on fire. All bridges and tunnels in New York City have been closed. The FAA also has closed the airspace around the New York metro region. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani is headed to the scene. The number of people who were aboard the plane is not yet known. An Airbus can hold 275 people. The FAA says that thus far it has no indications of what caused the crash. Anti-Taliban forces reportedly are moving toward the Afghan capital of Kabul today. They've already claimed to have seized the vital western city of Herat and are closing in on the remaining Taliban stronghold in the north. It's unclear if the rebels plan an all-out attack on Kabul. A spokesman says the opposition captured a district 15 miles north. He says opposition fighters advanced 9 miles in less than an hour, but stopped amid Taliban resistance. President Bush has urged the opposition not to take Kabul before a new broad-based government can be formed. Some senior opposition figures have said they would stop short of entering the city. Three journalists have been killed covering the fighting in Afghanistan. Two French reporters and one German journalist were killed in a Taliban ambush while traveling with Northern Alliance forces. NPR's Nick Spicer reports.
Several reporters were sitting atop the armored vehicle, traveling in the dark towards the front line. They were verifying Northern Alliance advances. Ambush survivors say the vehicle came under fire from Taliban machine guns and anti-tank weapons. It swerved and three reporters fell off. They were the French radio reporters Joanne Sutton and Pierre Billot, as well as an unidentified freelancer working for a German magazine. Their bodies were found later. France's prime minister has expressed his great sadness at the news of the deaths. The three are thought to be the first journalists killed while covering the conflict in Afghanistan. Nick Spicer, NPR News, Paris.
Israeli troops reportedly shot and killed a Palestinian militant during a raid on a West Bank village today. The man was suspected of killing Jewish settlers. Witnesses say the troops also arrested about 20 villagers. In the opening minutes on Wall Street, the Dow is off by 167 points. The Nasdaq's down 26. This is NPR.
A plane crashed in New York City shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time. The plane was American Airlines Flight 587, departing Kennedy Airport for Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. It was a twin-engine Airbus A300 with a seating capacity of 275. All major airports in the New York area were closed following the crash, and planes were diverted elsewhere. The crash came 2 months and a day after terrorists hijacked four planes and attacked the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. Joining me now is NPR's Barbara Bradley. Good morning.
Good morning.
What about the cause of the crash?
Well, everyone is kind of scrambling to try to find that out. As you know, it's a federal holiday, so many people at the FBI aren't around today. Now, right now, I understand that thus far, the government is not aware of any distress call coming from the plane, either from a passenger or from the pilot. There was apparently no warning about this. There was no intelligence suggesting that an attack was coming. This is not related in any way to the recent alerts that we've heard from the Attorney General. But others say that normally you don't get a specific warning in this kind of attack, and so they're just trying to figure it out right now. Now, I should mention that they're looking at several different possibilities. One source says the fact that the plane was climbing out is a good sign, that the passengers were buckled into their seats. It's harder to get out. It's harder to take over the plane. On the other hand, the pilots are not expecting something to happen when they're climbing out. So that might have provided an opportunity if there was a terrorist attack and people taking over the plane.
Terrorist attack, of course, is what we all immediately jump to and in the wake of September 11th, but there's been no evidence of any sort of thing this morning.
Right, that's right. Now, let me tell you some of the possibilities that they're having to look at right now. One, a government official mentioned on TV the possibility of a shoulder-fired missile, and I was talking to one intelligence person about that, and he said, well, there's a possibility because there are eyewitness reports, and at this point, just eyewitness reports that the engine came off of the plane, was separated, and, you know, in a shoulder-fired missile, it would see seek the heat of the engine and hit that. So that's one thing they're looking at. They're looking at also a bomb in the cargo. However, if there's a bomb, generally the whole plane breaks up, and I'm not sure that we've seen evidence of that. And then they're, of course, looking at the possibility that passengers took over, that terrorists took over the plane. And then they're looking at the possibility that it was a mechanical error.
Of course, there's been a significant increase in airport security over the past 2 months.
That's right. Although people are divided about that, they have been more careful. These are more careful about screening passengers, looking at handheld luggage, that kind of thing. I was talking to one person who said he wasn't positive, wasn't sure if those two airport or if JFK had gone to positive bag matches. That is, making sure that the bag doesn't get on unless a passenger gets on. We're not sure if they went on to that yet. Other people say that, you know, the security measures thus far have not been all that effective. It takes time to strengthen the bulkhead between the cockpit and the rest of the plane. We're not sure if these planes had locks on the pilot's doors. And then the other things may not have really been in place. You know, how much real screening are we doing? And so there's a division on that.
NPR's Barbara Bradley.
It's 7:39. You're listening to Morning Edition on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Steve Julian. If you have just turned on your radio and you wonder what's going on, there's been another plane crash this morning. This one, an American Airlines flight leaving JFK in New York City for Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. It went down about 5 miles after taking off from the airport. No indication yet as to the cause, although witnesses have said that they saw one of the engines burst into flames and come down separately from the airplane. The plane crashed in a residential neighborhood in Queens, New York. More information coming up here on KPCC.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A plane crashed in New York City shortly after 9 o'clock this morning Eastern Time. The plane was American Airlines Flight 587, departing Kennedy Airport for Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. It was a twin-engine Airbus A300 with a seating capacity of 275. All major airports in the New York City area were closed following the crash, and planes were diverted elsewhere. The mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani, had this to say.
The airports have been closed for a while, and I talked to the governor, and just as a precaution, we're going to close the bridges and tunnels for an hour or two and see if this is an isolated incident, which is what we hope it is. And now we should really focus all of our efforts on trying to see if we can find survivors.
New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. NPR's Melissa Block is in New York City. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
This plane crashed on takeoff from Kennedy Airport with a presumably full load of jet fuel and crashed into a neighborhood in the Queens section of New York.
Right, in the Rockaways, which is a beach community of small, usually one and two family homes stretched out along this very long peninsula over right on the water. It's a beach community like any other beach community. It's easy to forget that you're in New York City when you're out there. There are reports of some homes that are on fire, varying reports. There's TV footage now showing pieces of the jet that have fallen on the streets in front of gas stations, large pieces of fuselage. Eyewitnesses in the neighborhood are reporting seeing some version of this scenario, that one of the engines appears to have either separated from the plane or there may have been some explosion on the wing that caused the engine to separate from the plane before the plane nosedived into the ground. Now, obviously, everyone sees something different in cases like this, and it's very early to tell what specifically happened to that plane that caused it to crash. And at this point, as we said, there's no indication that it was terrorism.
President Bush has postponed a scheduled interview with Russian and American reporters so he could monitor the investigation into the crash. No indication of terrorism, but of course that's what leaps to mind so soon after the events of September 11th.
Absolutely. And in any crash like this, I'm reminded of TWA Flight 800, where the FBI for many, many months thought that this was a terrorist investigation, and ultimately that crash was determined to be mechanical error. Obviously, this is a different situation coming so soon after the attacks of September 11th. And there are reports now that with the city on high alert, that there are F-15 jets patrolling the area, patrolling the skies as a safety precaution, according to the mayor. He's again, Mayor Giuliani, urging New Yorkers to remain calm. home. This has been his mantra since September 11th, that New Yorkers should try to go as, about their lives as much as possible. Obviously, this sets things on their head somewhat.
And the city has shut down the tunnels and bridges leading into New York.
Shut down for a while. There are conflicting reports now of whether some of those entry points may now be opened. The mayor had said originally that they would be shut down for an hour or so. I think it's starting to get back to normal, but obviously everything's on a high state of alert, as it has been here. Trucks going into the city have been stopped and searched over bridges, going into tunnels for the last 2 months, and obviously security now will be ratcheted up. If it hadn't been ratcheted up to the tightest extent before, it will be now.
There are reports of shops and houses in the area on fire. I'm sure New Yorkers have to be wondering what next. Haven't we suffered enough?
Yeah, I mean, first with the attacks, and then there were numerous anthrax scares in this city. Now you have another plane crash, and unfortunately, this city has seen its share of plane crashes over the last few years. There's a hotel out by Kennedy Airport that has become the site where family members of people on board planes that have crashed go to get information. That is now in place. There are triage centers. Remember, this is Veterans Day, and schools are closed. So some schools in the area are now being turned into triage centers. If they do find any survivors, that's where they'll be taken.
And being Veterans Day, you have a federal holiday for federal employees. So the response might be affected in that way here in Washington.
I'm sure everyone will be deployed. I know it's been hard to get through to the FAA today because their machines are saying that they are on vacation, but everyone, certainly all the rescue workers here whose attention may have been focused on Ground Zero and taking care of the rubble and trying to find remains there, unfortunately, now they have another focus of their activities today, and it's out in Queens.
NPR's Tom Jolton is at the Pentagon. Tom, I'm sure that everyone anticipated a quiet day at the Pentagon today.
That's right, Bob. It is, because it is a federal holiday, as Melissa said. The Pentagon is also closed. Of course, the Pentagon never really closes, so there are people here. And when the reports of this crash in New York came, you can imagine how jumpy people here are, given what happened 2 months ago. One thing that's important to point out, just to remind our listeners, that for the past, since September 11th, the United States NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, has been flying combat air patrol continuously over Washington, D.C. and New York, F-15s and F-16s flying continuously over those two metropolitan areas. So there were fighter jets in the air at the time when this happened, and according to Pentagon people here, no distress call, no special alarm, nothing out of the ordinary, really, preceded this crash.
The Pentagon, of course, was a target of September 11th and is now prosecuting a war in which there was some encouraging news from their point of view, the advances by the Northern Alliance against the Taliban.
Another big story that I'm sure will come back into our headlines here very shortly. Dramatic developments over the weekend with the Northern Alliance moving all across the northern Afghanistan. And, you know, what this is going to highlight is the extent to which the United States is really depending now on these rebel forces, basically to fight the war in Afghanistan. I mean, for the moment at least, the United States is really putting counting a lot on the Northern Alliance forces to take the fight to the Taliban. For the past couple of weeks, the great majority of U.S. airstrikes have been in support of those efforts on the ground. And as long as things are going well in Afghanistan, in northern Afghanistan in particular, I'm sure that that focus of U.S. operations is going to be continuing.
The headlines, the bulletins on the plane crash were interspersed with other bulletins from the battlefront in Afghanistan with the gains of the Northern Alliance.
That's true. I think until we know more, though, about what happened in New York, certainly that is the immediate focus right now. People here, one Air Force officer told me that, quote, the obvious question being asked, unquote, is whether anything unusual or, in his words, really bad might contribute to the explanation of this crash. Clearly, they don't even like to say the word terrorism. Given what's happened, but they are definitely looking at it. And as I said earlier, the preliminary word from the combat air patrol coordinators in the New York area is that they did not receive anything out of the ordinary, any distress calls, There was no reason to scramble, no instruction to scramble those additional fighters. And we are waiting a statement from the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, out in Colorado Springs, which runs these combat air patrols. We're waiting a statement from them. But apparently the pilots flying those F-15 and F-16s around New York City area did not see anything unusual. Their mission, you know, Bob, is to watch for sort of airliners going in funny directions or things happening in the skies that don't look right. They are, of course, they have information about all the flights that are operating, and they are on very high alert to detect anything in the aftermath of what happened on September 11th. They are under instructions to watch for anything unusual. In fact, if word cannot go quickly enough to the president and the rest of the command authorities, the Air Force generals can even order a plane shot down.
NPR's Tom Gelton at the Pentagon. American Airlines Flight 587 crashed in New York City shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time. The plane had just departed Kennedy Airport, headed for Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. It was a twin-engine Airbus A300 with a seating capacity of 275. All major airports in the New York City area were closed following the crash, and planes were diverted elsewhere. Fighter jets were seen flying over the area. Speaking on CNN, New York City's mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, had this to say.
The rest of the city is on high alert. The police are protecting lots of other areas. So at this point, we have no reason to believe that it'll be anything else but this. But at the same time, we're sensible and we understand what happened before. So for a while, the city is going to be on even a higher state of security.
The mayor of New York City, Rudolph Giuliani, NPR's Larry Abramson is here. Still no idea what caused this crash.
No, we don't. And, you know, it's terrible, but we have to be as patient as we can be when we're dealing with a plane crash, even though the first thing we want to know is what went wrong. And particularly given the climate since the September 11th attacks, people want to know right away, was it terrorism or wasn't it? And unfortunately, we may have to wait a long time to find that out. We may not. But I was just noting that it was only this year that a plane crash in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1999 was solved, as it were. That is, the FAA assigned, the NTSB actually assigned an actual cause to the crash, which was pilot error. So that's 2 years afterwards. Another sensational crash of TWA Flight 800 a few years ago still really hasn't been solved. They believe it was an explosion due to sort of mechanical problem. That was thought to be terrorism right at the beginning. And then that was, after many months, that was ruled out. So we may have to just wait for the investigators to start going through the wreckage. And, of course, that process hasn't even started.
The FAA says 255 people were aboard, including 9 crew members. And no immediate word on the number of deaths or injuries on the ground because buildings in the neighborhood, some houses were said to be on fire as a result of the crash. There is terrorism on the mind. We immediately jumped to that as after September 11th.
That's right. And I think it's understandable that people at least want to have that ruled out. It will be terrible enough if this was just a safety incident, but it would be, of course, much, much worse if somehow terrorists were able to bring down another plane. A lot has been happening in the aviation safety area since the September 11th crashes. The Congress and the administration have been working on ways to make searches at airports much more thorough. They're talking about federalizing the people who search your hand-carried luggage. They're looking at ways to do better searching of the luggage that's actually checked in. And I believe in the last few weeks they've actually been making some progress on reinforcing the doors to the cockpit. We don't know exactly what happened on the planes that crashed on September 11th, but it's reasonable to assume that if the doors had been secure, that those hijackings wouldn't have happened. So they're making some progress in those areas. So things are beginning to change, and I think more measures are being undertaken so that no more hijackings can occur. But planes have been brought down other ways by terrorists. It's not impossible.
Here's an FBI spokesman saying, right now, we don't believe it's a terrorist incident because we don't have any information indicating that it is. But here, of course, it's happening in New York City, which has had all these anthrax problems and,
right.
and crashes into the World Trade Center.
Right.
And
well, and it's particularly terrible. This plane took off and crashed right into a neighborhood, and this has happened before. There was a crash outside of Detroit that a few years ago that hit a freeway. You know, whenever you have airports that are packed in this tightly against surrounding neighborhoods, takeoff and landing crashes are going to hit somebody, and it's particularly tragic to see these houses on fire after the crash has already happened.
I remember in the 50s there was two planes crashed over Brooklyn and Queens.
That's right.
Aides say President Bush is being kept up to date on the crash of the American Airlines plane in New York City. Officials say Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge is monitoring developments in the White House Situation Room. A senior administration official says a nationwide ban on airline takeoffs is one possibility being considered. So,
well, that would be a ban on flying, wouldn't it? If you couldn't take off, that would is sort of the only way to conclude from that. I will be interested and surprised if they go that far, and I would think that they wouldn't go that far unless they had some reason to think that there was something odd going on. After the September 11th crashes, you'll remember there was an indication pretty soon afterwards that these were hijackings, that they were clearly flown into these buildings. It was clear after two jets flew into the World Trade Center towers that this couldn't have been an accident. And so the course of action for federal officials was pretty clear. In this case, it looks like they're going to wait a little bit until they have a reason to believe that there's an actual reason to worry about this. But when in doubt, they're going to keep flying open, except in the New York area.
This official quoted by the Associated Press says there's no immediate evidence of terrorism in the crash, and the official adds no specific threats against airlines were received ahead of time, and the pilot of the plane did not report any trouble before the crash.
Right. Well, again, one of the things they'll have to look at are the conversations that went on in the cockpit. They may have tapes on the ground because there's usually a fair amount of communication between the ground and the plane on takeoff and landing. There are long pauses in the air sometimes, but usually when they're taking off, they'll give some sort of advisory. They'll be told to make a turn. Coming out of JFK, they have to make a lot of turns. So there may be something in there that will give them an indication as to what happened. And they may also find something out from the voice recorder and the data recorders, which are now lying in the rubble in Queens. In the recent crashes of the hijackings, remember, they didn't get a whole lot of information from those recorders.
NPR's Larry Abramson. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.
Support for National Public Radio comes from the Northwestern Mutual Foundation, the charitable arm of Northwestern Mutual, a network of financial representatives providing estate planning, nmfn.com. Travelocity.com, offering 700 airlines, 50,000 hotels, and 5,000 vacation and cruise getaways. Travelocity.com, go virtually anywhere. And PBS, Tuesday night's programming is devoted to information about bioterror, starting at 8 with the Nova special. Local times may vary. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Good morning. A commercial airliner has crashed on takeoff from New York's Kennedy Airport. I'm Bob Edwards. Today is Monday, November 12th. From NPR News, this is Morning Edition. There's no word yet on the cause of the crash of American Airlines Flight 587. Bush administration officials say there's no immediate evidence of terrorism in the crash, but say a ban on airline takeoffs is being considered. Russia's President Vladimir Putin arrives here in Washington today. In this hour Morning Edition, continuing coverage of the plane crash. Today is the birthday of Neil Young. He's 56 years old. The news is next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. An American Airlines jet crashed in Queens, New York this morning. Officials say the plane had just lifted off from Kennedy International Airport en route to the Dominican Republic. According to the Federal Aviation Administration, there were 255 people on board. NPR's Musa Block reports from New York.
According to the Federal Aviation Administration, American Airlines Flight 587 crashed about 5 miles from the airport in the beach community of Rockaway, Queens. Numerous homes on the ground are reported to be on fire, and rescue vehicles from all around the city are racing to the scene. Thick plumes of smoke can be seen from miles away. Eyewitnesses described an explosion around one of the wing engines just before the aircraft nosedived into the ground. There's no indication at this point of what caused the crash. The plane crashed shortly after 9 this morning en route to Santo Domingo. All New York metro area airports were closed after the crash, and bridges and tunnels were shut down. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.
President Bush met with his advisors this morning on the crash. He postponed a scheduled interview with Russian and American reporters so he could monitor the investigation. Intelligence agencies, the FBI, and the FAA are also reviewing recent intelligence for any sign that terrorism was involved. Opposition forces in Afghanistan have launched an assault on the Taliban front line just north of Kabul. The Northern Alliance also claims to have captured the city of Herat and that its forces now control about 40% of Afghanistan. Taliban officials deny they've lost the city. They also claim to be launching a counterattack in other parts of the country. Trade ministers meeting in Qatar have moved into the final stretch of a 5-day conference. Members of the World Trade Organization are hoping to reach a consensus on ways to further open world markets. But so far, little progress has been made. NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
Pressure is building to reach agreement on key issues before tomorrow's closing session. Ministers were apparently close to a compromise on one of the most divisive issues here, access to cheaper drugs. Developing nations want a new interpretation of the WTO's copyright accord, known as TRIPS. They're demanding to be able to override drug patents when facing a public health crisis like AIDS. But the U.S. is reportedly reluctant to support any changes to TRIPS. It fears weakening the accord will harm research and development of new drugs. Negotiations are expected to continue. There has been some good news here, however. Over the weekend, the WTO admitted China and Taiwan. Their admission is expected to strengthen the global trading system. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Doha.
On Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 149 points at 94.58. Trading is moderate. The Nasdaq Composite Index is down 16 points at 18.12. You're listening to NPR News. Typhoon Lingling struck central Vietnam today. Officials say at least 18 people were killed. The storm is also blamed for more than 170 deaths in the Philippines. After sweeping through central Vietnam, the typhoon lost its strength and has now been downgraded to a severe tropical storm. 8 news organizations have completed their recount of the contested ballots in last year's presidential election in Florida. Their conclusion is that if a full statewide recount had been done, Al Gore would have won by a tiny margin. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
Al Gore asked only for a recount in 4 Democratic-leaning counties. If that had been allowed, the media review shows that George Bush still would have won by as many as 493 votes. But if a full statewide recount of all votes, including ballots where machines registered no choice at all and ballots that showed more than one choice was done, the media review shows Gore winning by as many as 171 votes. All recounts were stopped on December 12th of last year by the Supreme Court, which declared Bush the winner. Gore reacted to the media review with a written statement saying that the presidential election is over and that he supports President Bush's efforts to combat terrorism. White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer said the public wasn't interested in the conclusions of the study. The voters have moved on, Fleischer said. There's no news here. It's over. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
Recapping our top story at this hour, a passenger jet crashed in Queens this morning. Officials say an American Airlines Airbus heading for the Dominican Republic went down moments after takeoff from Kennedy Airport. We have no information on deaths, injuries, or the reason it crashed. Officials say there were 255 people on board. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News, in Washington.